Is the Hardline, the greatest show on earth.
Well, maybe just in St. Louis.
Out of all road, freak show, something to see.
Got them lined up
and waiting, taking bullets for me.
I'm a Mack truck.
I'm chucking down a one-way street.
You better move,
bitch. My tank's on E.
The Hardline with TJ Moe, Cam Jansen, John Hadley, Bob Ramsey, and who the hell else knows?
Hey, welcome to the Hardline, 5-9 of the Fan, KFNX, KFNS, and 5-9ofthefan.com. I am former Missouri wide receiver TJ Moe. Bob Ramsey out today having a, he will be back tomorrow. And John Hadley joining us via the cellular device from his working quarters. So he will be with us first hour. Raphael from mybookie.ag will be with us at 2:05. And then we will get to Rock's favorite segment of the year, Game of Thrones betting odds, in the final segment of the day. John, how is your day from your place of work?
I will tell you this much right now.
Okay.
If I have to look at one more company tax table, I am going to give the listeners of St. Louis Radio what they want. And that's Hari Kari.
Westbrook Wonderboy wants to know, who does that opening song? Do you know who that is?
Yeah, that's Kid Rock.
There you go. Kid Rock, Westbrook Wonderboy. All right, let's dive into some blues, if you will. The Blues pulled out it was really one of their most well-played games of the season, certainly defensively. They had some offensive opportunities, did not cash in on all of them. Braden Schenn didn't show up on the stat sheet with a goal, but he had a lot of opportunities. He's playing well right now. Tarasenko got his fourth goal in the last five games. Ryan O'Reilly won it with a brilliant move in the shootout. In overtime, Tyler Bozak got in on the action about a minute into the game, although that was called back, and of course, Jaden Schwartz. Defensively, I think there's a couple guys, John, that have turned the corner, one of which you have mentioned, you went from saying probably a month or two into the season that it is almost an embarrassment and unfair to a guy like Jay Bouwmeester, who really was a good player at one point, to have him out there. It's just unfair. To now, you can argue he's your second best defender out there, right? I mean, when he's out there with Colton Parayko especially, those two are a shutdown force. Parayko has really turned the corner to a guy that you just flat can't get around. And Jay Bouwmeester playing at a really high level, too. I think they've picked up the pace here. They slumped a little bit, and I say slump, and that's in their play. It hasn't been in the results. The Blues, I think, have won 5 out of 6 now. The results look good, but I think they've gotten over what was a little bit of a mini slump that they had to fight through and get some wins while they weren't playing their best hockey.
I would take umbrage with only one thing, and that's you paraphrasing in a sense. No, I unequivocally said that Jay Bouwmeester was a warrior, that Jay Bouwmeester at one time was clearly a top-notch number two defenseman, if not a low-level number one, a guy who I had a great deal of appreciation for, and it saddened me to see him playing the way he was playing.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to point to Tarasenko, and it's easy to point to the goalie. I think that you are 100% correct in mentioning in the same breath Jay Bouwmeester. Because he has gone back 10 years in his career over the course of the last 3 or 4 months. He is playing superb hockey. Superb hockey, unequivocally. The Blues needed Tarasenko to be the superstar he could be, and he's been. The Blues needed a goalie to step up, and the kid did. The Blues also proved to be one of the weakest defensive teams and almost an embarrassing defensive team for an extended period of time in opening the season. Now, a lot of people want to point to the team defense, and I think that's a fair assessment, because while we talked about a guy like Bo Meester, we talked that the forwards never seemed to have any interest in getting back and helping, that it was really not only a combination of poor defensive play, but overall poor defensive play. Well, that's changed, but the one guy that has surprised me more than most is Bo Meester, because as I've said for an eternity, I think Tarasenko is a top 10 player in this league when he wants to play two-way hockey. There was a reason that he had a nickname, the Tank, at one point in time.
He used it yesterday. Well, did you see the check on McKinnon?
There is no question about it. Blew him up.
Yeah, he did.
Blew a guy up twice his size. No ands, ifs, or buts about it. And once again, Bo Meester played strong. You know, Parayko definitely has to be in there. But, I mean, you know, my biggest problem with Parayko, as I said, is he should be a Panario All-Star. That's the kind of skill he has.
Panario or perennial, either way, yeah.
No. Panera.
A
Panera.
You think he should be All-Star. A delicious local bagel
exactly.
Store All-Star. Got it.
Yeah. No, but I mean, what Parayko is doing, I mean, basically what this team is doing is justifying my belief prior to the season and justifying my analysis when they got off to a poor start. Because when I put it to Parayko and said embarrassing. He's embarrassing himself. He's embarrassing his family. This kid's an all-star. This kid's a big-time player. He's not getting the job done well. He's proven me to be 100% correct. In fact, playing better than I thought he would.
Yeah, I don't think there's any
better
question.
Better than I thought he could.
He is by far. I don't think it's close. He is by far the best defender on this team, especially in the open ice. I mean, there's a reason he's always the first one out there when they go into overtime, because open ice, and that he can skate the puck up the ice better. He and Vince Dunn are really the only guys. Petrangelo, I know a lot of people are comfortable with it. I'm not as comfortable with him as I am the other two. As far as making something happen, Parayko is really dominant. And truly, if it is an odd man break against him, I'm still pretty confident that Parayko is going to find a way to stop it.
Well, I can tell you this much right now. Parayko put one of the elite players in the world in his place last night. Parayko manhandled much of the game, and manhandled meaning not only physically, but structurally and within the scheme work of their defense, made McKinnon look about as pedestrian as you're going to see him look over any length of time in a hockey game.
Mm-hmm.
But all this said about Parayko and Tarasenko and the kid in the net, I'm telling you, this team would not be tied for second place within spitting distance of the division championship if it's not for Jay Bo Meester. So in the truest sense, while I love seeing a note live up to their potential, I could not be any happier for one athlete in the world right now, any more happy than I am for Jay Bo Meester, because we're finally starting to see what this guy was all about. We're finally starting to see what this guy was capable of. I don't know if suddenly his body just revived. He got over a plethora of injuries he had to deal with over the last 5 years. All I know is this guy is today what he was at his best.
Yeah.
And that's really one of the most amazing stories of the season.
The Brentwood Forest Cabana Boy says there is a 100% chance Hadley is not only a Beaker, but also offended by any mention of Quantrell. Is that true, John?
What's a Beaker?
A Beaker.
Rock, what's a Beaker?
Rock?
Is he referring to Beaker Trash? Because that's the only thing I'm aware of. I'm aware of what Beaker Trash is.
Beaker. When
that's a KU fan.
Well done.
That's what I'm positive about but I'm not sure what he's referring to. Unless
whoa, is he calling me a Jayhawk?
I don't know.
I think that was and Quantrell, of course, is the Missourian who went over to Lawrence and burned it to the ground.
Oh, no doubt, I'm Quantrell. No doubt.
Well,
he
says
you're offended by any mention
of Quantrell.
Yeah, he's saying you are a Beaker. Yes, he's saying that you're a KU fan. That was a lowercase K, by the way.
I'll tell you what. You can call me fat. You can call me
ugly.
They
have, John. I'll get there.
You can call me incompetent. You can call me a bad guy. But don't you ever, ever call me a Jayhawk.
John, do you mind if they tell you to stick your tongue in an electric outlet? Because that's what the 636 just did.
Oh, well, I've done that before.
Yeah, haven't we all? The 314 Fat John Hadley.
We were all 5 years old.
Let me tell you something.
Or drunk.
Let me tell you something. It's an electrifying experience.
The 314 Fat John Hadley is an a-hole and makes the show awful. Get rid of him. Craig, the CPA, Hadley is giving us what we want with silence. let's see. Hillside Guy says Hadley's making the AAF look like the NFL. There you go. There you go. Recaps. Timmy,
By the way, have you watched any of the AAF?
Yeah.
Yes, especially when Johnny Manziel is out there, although he played just a little bit before he got a concussion last week.
I got to be honest with you. I've got some football guys trying to make this out like it's, you know, hey, I'm surprised. All right. No, man. AAF, if it's a Chaka Khan, let me tell you something. That's bad football, dude. That's bad football.
But there's big enough names that people still – I don't know what the ratings have – I know the ratings have not been great and they're not selling tickets. But the ratings were actually, especially when they first launched, the ratings were decent. And there's enough big players out there, at least former big names. I mean, they got at least two former Heisman Trophy winners.
And there's some, I mean, there's some stories going around right now. There's some people talking about how – you know, was it just the NFL refusing to let –
Yeah, let's save that. We're going to save that for a later segment.
But there was also another report. Have you seen Albert Breer essentially saying that – the owner who went in for $70 million most recently, he only went in to get essentially ownership of the gambling app that the AAF was putting together.
Yeah, well let's revisit that later.
There's some threads there.
So getting back to the Blues, I know I got us off topic here by reading the text line. I do want to incorporate what they're doing, though. 855-282-8255, your thoughts are welcome. Last one here, Webster Groves, Weenie Wiggler, John's Fat. And I think that's pretty good there. So Jordan Binnington, I was looking this up yesterday, and so maybe I'm a little bit off on this. Everybody keeps saying that Jake Allen had the all-time rookie lead in wins with 22 that Jordan Binnington just tied. But Mike Weiss? I need to pull back up what I looked up that had it said like 34 wins or something as a rookie. I need to double check that. But bottom line is Jordan Binnington 22-5-1 now with a .928 save percentage and a 1.85 goals against average. That is about as spectacular as you can hope. And he's not doing anything crazy out there. What he continues to do is just be absolute nails. It actually looks quite a bit different than when Jake Allen would go on his crazy spurts where he was untouchable. He was generally doing really athletic things that you don't see too many goaltenders. That's why everybody thought his ceiling was so high. You rarely see people do some of the acrobatic movements that Jake Allen could do. You really don't see that out of Jordan Binnington. What you do see out of Jordan Binnington, a guy who's a brick wall that you rarely get around, including McKinnon yesterday in the shootout. Binnington, according to Tom Timmerman here, Binnington's goal against average of 1.85 is the lowest in a season by a rookie goaltender who started at least 20 games. Excuse me, played at least 20 games since Toronto's Al Rollins in 1950 to the 1951 season. He had a 1.77. I mean, he has now been the NHL Rookie of the Month in back-to-back months and has got to be making his way into the Calder Trophy talk, John.
You want to know just how tough a guy Al Rollins was? He didn't even wear a mask. Al Rollins said, punch me in the face with the puck if you want to.
Honestly, if I didn't see pictures, I would put goalies played hockey without masks. I'd put that up there with the we walked both ways uphill in the snow to school every day. And like the older people are making this up just to get me to kind of believe their tale and believe how awesome it is. The fact that actually happened is unbelievable, and those guys are absolutely insane. Still can't believe it happened.
Good story, Rock.
Just saying.
Good talk, Russ.
Just saying.
John.
We don't talk about it enough.
I don't know how to pronounce his name. Mike Liut, L-I-U-T.
Mike Liut?
Hold on. You don't know who Mike Liut is?
No, he played 10 years before I was born.
That's still pretty bad.
I watched my first Blue season 2 years ago.
Michael Liut, one of the greatest goaltenders in St. Louis Blues history. One of the Oh, my goodness.
Well, according to Hockey Reference, Mike, John, he had 32 wins as a rookie. That's why everybody who keeps saying Jake Allen has the all-time lead at 22 wins, I'm not understanding.
Well, you know what? All I care about is that one game this year, we bring back the Leut chant in honor of this young goalie we now have between the pipes. I want to hear him being regaled with Leut, Leut. That's
played,
what I want to hear.
In the 79-80 season, so prior to he was with in the World Hockey Association there before he entered the NHL. He was in the he was with CNS, whoever that is, in the WHA. Came to the NHL his rookie season, 79-80, and in 64 games played, had 32 wins. So everybody keeps saying that. That's what I'm not understanding. Maybe there's something I don't get about that. According to Hockey Reference, Binnington is now tied for second in most wins by a rookie goaltender. So bottom line, though, is still the same thing. You have
that would be akin to saying, you know, who's Phil Bradley? Who's Phil Bradley?
Okay, well, you would say who's Phil Bradley if you had never watched Missouri football and you were 3 years into it. That's exactly what you'd say, especially if it happened 10 years prior to your birth.
Three years in of being a fan of a team, you better have some history for that team locked the heck down.
No, I disagree.
I you're wrong. I'll say that then.
Well, not interested.
Come on, you got to know the history of the team.
No, you don't. You most certainly don't. As I don't,
you told me
you haven't,
as you become a Blues fan, gone back and looked like those incredible seasons of like Hall and Oates and things like that, just to see the history, so you know that all the pain and heartbreak that the fans have gone through that we reference multiple times whenever we talk about this team in the playoffs.
Not interested. So Jake Allen's last 11 games, all of which are on the road, John. He has 5-3-3, which is not that great. However, he's been spectacular as far as save percentage and goals against average. That he hasn't started at home since January 8th, but on the road he's been spectacular. 927 save percentage and a 2.15 goals against average. That's got to be near the top of the league during that span. It's hard to tell, especially when you're looking on the road to get that specific when you're doing searches. But with guys now, Jake Allen playing this well, and Binnington, who's got a 928 save percentage for the entire season, you have two guys playing some of the very best hockey in net going into the playoffs. And Chris Kerber keeps saying he thinks you're going to need them both.
Oh, yeah. There's no question you will. I mean, in all seriousness, if you even within the first four games, you're going to tell me you're not going to play Jake Allen in one of those road games? No question you will.
Is that normal?
You have no
though?
Choice to.
That is that normal? Do you typically play a backup at all?
Not necessarily. No.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point in time, if you make a deep run, yes.
Right.
When appropriate, but not necessarily. I mean, it's not unheard of by any means, but normal. No, it's not. But it's not normal for a human being with a Johnson not to know who Mike Leut is.
Mike Hunt says Mike Leut. How do you say his name? Leut.
Mike Leut
played 2 years in the WHA, so he was not classified as a rookie.
And that's true, by the way.
Okay,
that is 100% true. Just like Wayne Gretzky opened up in the WHA.
Well, there you go. So that is accurate. However, their very first season with the Blues, their very first season in the NHL, a little bit different. Westbrook, Wonderboy, is because Binnington is normally in better position. Jake has to be acrobatic to recover from being out of place. I think that's probably accurate, although there are times, too, where, look, when it's an odd man rush and it's a cross-ice pass, you're in good position and Jake gets over there better than when he's at the top of his game. He almost unmatched, right? That's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. You go back 2 years when he hit that hot streak for about 2 months, he was doing things that you don't see almost any goal in the NHL capable of doing.
Yeah, but then the problem is how acrobatic he is, he lets that get into his game in the very standard moments, and all of a sudden he's leaving half the goal open in a situation where he should have 75 to 80% of it covered and locked away.
Right, and I didn't dispute any of that. What I was saying, though, is that his ceiling, because of that athletic ability, is higher than most, and that was the intent. When you brought him in here and signed that contract, you saw that. That was stuff that Elliott couldn't do. That's stuff that Binnington cannot do.
Cam Jansen chiming in on the comment about the playoffs. Jake will not play in the first four playoff games unless Benner gets hurt or is absolutely awful. No way.
John. He said no way, John.
Sorry.
Hold on a second. Hey, Kate, hand me my cigarettes, please, babe. Thank you. All right, now what was Cam saying?
Cam said that Binnington will most certainly play the first four playoff games, and he said, no way, John, that Jake Allen will start.
He did throw out the injury or awful caveat. So, I mean, if Binnington gets blown up in game three for five goals in the first two and a half periods, you're probably then pulling him for game four, I think, especially if you're down 2-1.
You know what? Cam Jansen has the right to his Kate, that is a gorgeous outfit. That Kate. Cam Jansen has the right to his opinion. I can tell you this much right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because you are where you are when you're there. And don't forget it.
Dang it.
I have no idea what you're saying.
Well, you are where you are.
Craig, the CPA, can Hadley break down the X and O's for us or just keep speaking in generalities? John, what kind of X's and O's do you think Craig, the CPA, is asking for?
You are where you are.
Kisses, hugs. Very happy, Craig.
Gibby.
I'm throwing you a kiss and giving you a hug.
X's and O's you're asking for. God dang it, John.
Gibby, Hadley. Gibby says, that's Hadley, good. Drink bleach, you millennial wannabe Jayhawk fan fat ass.
I'm telling you, I take umbrage with that Jayhawk man.
That's perfect. Just call him a Jayhawk millennial communist, and I think John might actually get legitimately angry.
The guy that sounds like Jay Jr. is agreeing with you, Rock, and I think all of us. I think we're all on the same page here. Jake Allen makes an acrobatic save and then later can't make a simple save. That's absolutely true. He routinely, like Cam Jansen calls them duff goals. I think he made that up.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
But he's like, it's a stupid duff goal. You just let it. Jake did that all the time. But he would routinely make crazy saves that would, for a while, even it out, right? And eventually it did not even out, and that's why Jordan Binnington is in net the vast majority of the games now. Since January 8th, Allen's only played 11 games, And I think moving forward, Jake Allen will not, barring injury or, as Cam said, an absolute collapse. There's no way Jake Allen's playing another home game this year. You got two more. You're going to Chicago. Jake Allen may be in net there for Chicago. Then you got two more at home.
I don't know about that. If there's nothing to play for, and you want to give him a taste at home, I'm not going to rule that out. I think you're making a blanket statement that's unfair. That's unfair.
The reason I say that, John, is because I think you're playing the psyche of the guy now. He's got it in his head that he's good on the road. For whatever reason he struggled at home, just keep that rolling. Don't come in and then get him back at home. What if he does struggle, and then now he can't do it if you have to have him later on? And then also, what if that Jake, as we've seen over the last 2 years, is a head case? Do you want him to have a really bad game heading into the playoffs where you may need him on the road?
Do you want him playing his first home game, or I guess what would be a second home game in like 6 months?
No, I don't want him playing at home at all.
If the kid gets hurt in game one, do you want Jake Allen coming out and, oh, my goodness gracious, oh, my goodness gracious.
Yes,
oh,
I would rather have the surprise and hope that Jake thought he could overcome it than proof that he couldn't when he just blew one with two games left in the season.
I'm more with John on this one because my worry is that let's say you don't have home field. Let's say you have home ice.
Mm-hmm.
You go to game seven. Binnington blows game six. And then you're talking about going home. Now your question is, do you put in a young player into a game seven when he has to lock it down, or do you put in the other guy after a bad game, or do you put in your backup who now hasn't played at home in 3 and 4 months and now it has to do it on game seven? Something like just a scenario like that.
I get it.
Is worst case scenario where Allen now is put has all.
See, I disagree.
Everything on
what
his
if
back.
He goes in the last game or two of the season and lets up five like he was doing every time that he was at home? Now he knows he can't do it, and he didn't just recover, and he's not just playing better hockey. He can only do it on the road. So now you've got it in his head that he sucks again. I'd rather go out there in the playoffs and say, I'm good, I've been good for 2 months, and then psych yourself up to do it. Especially when, if you don't have anything to play for, maybe the guys in front of you aren't playing their best.
If I were you and you were me, I'd be getting free Smoothie Kings.
John, the 850 has something to say about that. He said, in West Virginia, they call a white turd a Hadley.
I knew that.
The 636 Hadley, please play Russian roulette with a with a fully loaded gun.
It's a game of chance that at a casino.
Hold on.
Roulette.
Hold on.
I played it.
Okay.
Hold on.
Might want to pronounce it then.
Hold the phone.
No, he's on
Hold
the phone.
Hold your
John.
Horses. Hold yourself.
John,
Let
you're
me
on
ask
the
you
phone.
A question. Let me ask you a question. You don't know what roulette is?
I do. I've played it.
Just doesn't know what
That's
the word
the black,
looks like.
Red, and the, there's two greens.
One green.
There's two.
So if I said to you, hey, Mike Leuch coming over and we're going to go play roulette,
maybe
your
right
response
wrong.
Is,
there's only one,
who's
dude.
That and what's that? Who's that and what's that? You disappoint
John,
me.
Is there two greens you or one green in Russian roulette?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, there's actually there's two different kinds of wheels.
You know,
what's called the American wheel and the European wheel.
Thank you.
The European wheel only has one green.
There you go. The American wheel that
has
I have
two,
actually
yes.
played on has two. Thank you. All right, so there you go. I don't know what it said, but I've actually played it. Potent Potable. Hadley, is there traffic nearby? Please walk right into it. Thanks.
Oh, I've done that just to improve my reflexes.
The European one's more popular.
Yeah, that makes sense. But it makes sense that there's two, because I remember thinking there was equal odds for both red.
See,
and
thing, I knew you knew what roulette was, but it's just you don't know the fact that you didn't know the name when you just read it is funny to me. Mm-hmm. 850 with maybe the greatest text we've ever received. Catholics love pull tabs. That's the truest. That listen, as somebody who has gone to every St. James picnic since I was a little child, that's the truest statement that's ever been made in the history of mankind. Catholics love pull tabs. There's a 3-inch thick film of just pull tabs on the ground covering an entire street when June 12th gets wrapped up.
And let me tell you something. Back in the day, as a proud Catholic boy, I can tell you, those pull tabs were surrounded by guys playing corkball, and that's when life was good.
Corkball.
Where's
cork
Carlos Danger today?
Man,
Carlos Danger is now. We've not heard from him. He's typically one of our best texters.
That's legit right there, John.
Also, Brentwood Forest Cabana boy, you take Bennington no matter what. Allen has proven himself unreliable. Nobody's in disagreement with that, I don't think, that we're saying in crazy circumstances, whether it was Bennington completely falling apart or being hurt, now what do you do?
I guarantee you, despite the immense respect I have for Cam Jansen's hockey knowledge. In fact, I was talking to Cam last night for an extended period of time about how that was like a playoff game last night. Although he disagreed with me because I was having a little you tell me your opinion last night with my son and some of his friends. And I'll tell you this much. They weren't happy when I told them that if I had to pick between Alexander Ovechkin or Brett Hall, I would take Alexander Ovechkin. They were not pleased with that response, nor was Cam. Cam has the right to his opinion, and he knows more about hockey. He'll forget more about hockey than I know. But I guarantee you that Jake Allen plays in the first four games of a playoff series. I guarantee it.
John, Russian roulette is played with a gun. Play it, Hadley. That's a 3-4.
Oh, yeah, Russian roulette is played with a gun, and I would joke about that. It was actually a pretty good line. Russian roulette's not been brought up in a while. But considering what happened to an officer, I think it's a little too early. I take my first responders, I take my police officers very serious. I'm not going to have fun with Russian roulette considering what happened to a young lady a few months ago. So I get it. I appreciate it. 3 months from now, we'll joke about it. Not today.
By the way, that story may or may not have actually been the truth when it was all said and done. It turns out there was a little bit of a... there was more to that story if you read into it.
Yeah, you think so?
Well,
I don't want to sit there and speculate. All I know is a young lady died.
She
was a police officer, and regardless of the circumstances, any day that we lose somebody who's willing to step in front of danger for us, I pay my homage.
Certainly. No one is disputing that, nor would we.
I want to find more words that I think TJ has said before, but if he sees them, he doesn't know how to pronounce them. I just want to come up with a list and just see how well you do.
That'd be good.
This is now a goal of mine.
That fat Claude's drunken yammering is radio AIDS. That's the 3 on 4.
Got to take Claude off the list.
John?
Say that again?
That fat Claude's drunken yammering is radio AIDS.
See, I mean, I know where he was going. I just think he could have come up with a different.
Well,
Claude just doesn't work. Everything else sort of works. If he could have found a more
Claude
appropriate word.
John.
Yeah, I just don't see. I don't see Claude working in that circumstance.
John, Gibby has been listening to the show, obviously, because he said, Hadley, go lay asphalt while wearing shorts, genius.
You're gonna hate me for using this word, John, but onomatopoetically, Claude works for you. It seems.
Did I? Rock, shut up, because you're already on thin ice.
I knew I'd get him with that word.
Rock, did I ever tell you about my asphalt story?
Yes. Yes,
no.
Yes, you have.
About
that's
this
why
one?
He doesn't have any leg hair.
All right.
Real quick.
Rock, every time I wear shorts, people are asking, hey, do you shave your legs?
No, it's not, hey, do you? It's why do you? Because every other grown man has hair on their legs.
I don't have hair on my legs from my knees down.
Every other grown man has a libido, TJ, but you don't hear us coming after you.
Yes, you do.
Anyhow.
Oh, are you kidding? We all do, including me.
Fair point.
Can't we all just get along? No, make a long story short, Rock. My family owned an asphalt business for an extended period of time.
Humble brag.
My father, God bless his heart, may he rest in peace. My father was sick one day, couldn't work. I'm coming back from Los Angeles. My brothers needed some assistance. I show up over there in some tennies and shorts and a T-shirt. My brothers look at me like I'm crazy. What are you doing? You can't be wearing it. Yeah, boys, let's just do this thing. Well, afterwards, it took like 2 weeks and a tub of goop to get the asphalt off my legs. And in doing so, I must have done enough damage that hair don't grow back. It just don't grow back. It's just that simple. So my legs from my knees down match my head. It's that simple.
Right, City Lemming, introducing Hadley at Smoothie King, an extra large cup that's full of crap. It's well done, Right City.
Now, see, that's what I'm talking about. That's a guy who sat there. He thought to himself, I'm living in this hellhole known as Right City, which is not as good as Wentzville and a long way away from Columbia. So what am I going to do? I'm going to take a shot at Hadley. Well, guess what, my friend? You not only took a shot, you succeeded because you gave some thought, worked together what was being said and done on the show. So the next time you get a chance to call Matt Racchio, you leave your address and name because I'm getting you 2 Cardinal tickets this year.
Hey,
sometime
there you go.
In the next 6 weeks, you're going to get 2 Cardinal tickets on me because you are
right
a right-thinking kind
Lemming.
Of guy. Carpe diem.
Write his number down, please. Give him a call later. Right City Lemming, congratulations if you like the Cardinals. If you don't like the Cardinals, you're living in the wrong city. If you do like the Cardinals, you should be happy you just got 2 tickets. There you go. South City Otis, John. Can Hadley take the Polish sausage out of his mouth if he wants to keep talking? My gosh, that guy is fat.
I can tell you this much. I can take a Polish sausage out if he wants me to, but what?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Brentwood, Forest Cabana Boy, Hadley, after that moronic take, grab the fully loaded gun.
Well, I mean, spin the chamber for effect, at least.
At some point in time, I don't think it's inconceivable that once I find out the inevitable. No, I don't think I would ever do that. I really don't.
Yeah,
I really
not.
Don't.
That, John.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if say, for instance, the Blues were to lose. If the Blues were to lose again in the conference finals, that would be rather depressing. I need to see the Blues playing the Stanley Cup before I go. And at my age and in the shape I'm in with the way that I live my life,
last chance,
there is no guarantee that I have another decade to wait.
John, I have a quick question as a lifelong Blues fan. Which one would actually be more painful? For the Blues to never play another Stanley Cup game or for the Blues to go to a Stanley Cup final and still have it in their history to never win a Stanley Cup final game. So in other words, if they went to another one and got swept or just never went again, which one would you rather have?
So in other words, I mean, like when you're saying, you have to explain that The Blues have never won.
TJ's right here. Yeah, TJ's right here. I was worried about that.
Yeah, let me know.
I didn't think TJ was going to pick up on that little stat I was trying to throw out.
My bad.
Did you get that, TJ?
I looked it up earlier.
Okay, see, because they
I was studying the history of the Blues.
They came into the league.
I was reading.
And played three straight?
Yeah. And I read I read about the first Jeremy Rutherford wrote that book, 100 Things You Need to Know, but I only got through about 100 pages.
Yeah, clearly didn't make it to the Michael.
Hey, John, this one's interesting here. Does TJ know how to pronounce vagina?
I'm not going to get an answer to my He's going to get mad because I'm not going to get an answer to my question to John, but
well,
that's
no,
worth it.
No, because with this one, he actually knows how to pronounce it. He's just never seen one.
Oh boy!
Now, in all seriousness, getting back to the Blues, you know the other thing is, and I know he drives people crazy. I know he drives people crazy with his offensive zone turnovers. But let me tell you something: every week that passes, I am 100% convinced that Robert Thomas is a legit top line player in this league within the next 2 years, and he's going to have an extended career in the NHL. Robert Thomas is a legit prospect who is going to be a legit factor for this franchise for quite some time. I am really, really sold on Robert Thomas, even though the anxiety that he creates by all but handing the puck to the opposition at least once a week, if not twice a game.
Yeah. It was a rough
one
yesterday.
That kid has some talent.
He has single-handedly changed the power play. I think his creativity, you cannot take the puck from him. He's got great balance and really meshes well with that first power play unit. He's been really, really good there. The other guy that's probably in that same boat, John, is Vince Dunn. He has a propensity to turn it over in his own zone half the time, and yet he's going to be a star.
Well, I'll tell you this much, though. The more, we laughed at Hockey Bob. Well, I didn't. But there were some that did.
Loudly and happily.
Laughed at Hockey Bob when the Blues were shorthanded, and he insinuated that maybe the Blues should give him a look up front. The more that you watch Dunn play.
Oh, like Dustin Befuglin, right? That's what he said?
Yeah, just like Dustin Befuglin. Yeah. Who, by the way, played right next to Mike Lute and played relay. Anyhow, the fact of the matter is,
you better dip that in the butt right now, John.
Mike Lute.
Exactly. I'm serious. I don't think Dunn would embarrass himself playing up front. I could see him easily being, and I know you're going to think I'm crazy. I'm not talking about a winger. I think Dunn could play center. I really do.
What are we doing here?
I mean,
John, Dan G, I think, would like to speak to you about yesterday's thing. We're not going to address that anymore. We did that yesterday. But if Dan G would like to speak to you, can he email you or call you at some point?
Well, yeah, sure. Just email me at Hadley, STL, my name and abbreviation, STL, at AOL.com.
There you go.
And I'm not, and again, I wanted people to have their say yesterday. And, and try and do it in an honest and a fun manner. But it's not something that I want to prolong.
No,
because the fact of the matter is, it is what it is. I wish the kid the best. Who knows? I never say never. I mean, down the road, who knows what might happen?
I do want to point out. Go ahead. Finish. Sorry.
But the good news is apparently the kid has a new job at twice the salary.
He does.
So I'm very, very happy for him.
And Plowsy is one of the most likable people on planet Earth. He really is. Everybody likes Plowsy. I do want to point out Dan G was very respectful yesterday. He called in. I apologize, Dan, for not getting to you on that we try to get to as many texts as possible, that it's quicker than the phone line. I do apologize for not getting you. If you'd like to have
and Kyle
more extensive conversation with Hadley, HadleySTL is that Gmail or AOL?
AOL.
There you go. Dan G. So if you'd like to have more conversation about that, thank you for your thoughts there. 850, who has a better rack, Andy Reid or Hadley?
Listen, John, I have a lot of respect for you. I want to compliment you where I can. But Andy Reid is a lovable, snuggly man, and he wins that one.
There are some other funny ones on here. Where I honestly, guys, I'm... you guys are funny and all that. I'm not going to read any more texts regarding the Plowsy situation. I apologize. I do try to read as many texts as I can, but we're going to move on from that. If anybody would like to have more conversations, HadleySTL@AOL.com. Let's see. The 217, John, that makes sense. Hadley has as much brains in his head as he does in those legs. Manhole Inspector, John. The Manhole Inspector.
That's his nickname? That's his handle?
That's what he signed off as.
He's telling me he's a male gynecologist?
The Manhole Inspector, which I think is a nice creative name, John. That makes sense. Holy Hadley has as much brains in his head as he does in those legs. Which, John, in fairness, you're not really very, like, there's not, most of your weight is pretty much from the belly button up.
I mean, without getting into the assets and liabilities
stop,
of my, without getting into the assets and liabilities of my body, I will say that seemingly 80% of my weight is between my, I would say between the bottom of my belly and the top of my belly. Yeah, there's no question. I mean, I've never known anyone like myself to stop drinking and still have a beer belly. I don't get it, but
it is strange. South City.
I live with it.
You've been with who now?
Oh, I said I live with it.
Yeah. South City Otis, I don't love TJ, but I do love his commitment to read everything in the text inbox. Your worst nightmare's nightmare, John, says Hadley, would you give your life for a blue Stanley Cup title? Yes, you'd get to see it.
Still an answer on my head.
Well, if my two grandkids have graduated high school, then yeah. Because all I'm really sticking around for watching my grandkids grow up. Hell, I've done everything I could possibly want to do in life. I could not be more serious. I have been so incredibly lucky for a boy from Maryland Heights, Missouri to do what I've done in life. Please.
Gibby chiming in.
I would
in.
Have no problem. When the good Lord wants me, I am happy to go.
Gibby chiming in. Hadley is a huge mangina, which is funny. Your son is named Brendan, and that comes from the Step Brothers. Brendan is a mangina. You ever seen that, John?
Yeah. Yeah, again, like I said, call me whatever you want. Just don't call me a freaking Jayhawk.
Well, there you go.
Communist.
Oh, John, what do you think about that?
I think right now that I was a lone person in this entire city that had the foresight to see the greatness coming with this St. Louis Blues team, who saw
Rock.
The curve of changing, who saw the tide of coming, who said the St. Louis Blues would win this division,
Rock.
Who predicted that they would finish atop this division well before anybody even sniffled, even just
Rock.
Even had a scent of the spectacular finish that was coming with this hockey team. And let me tell you something, boys.
Right.
They're
going to
finish
I'll go
in
to
first
break.
Place. I can tell you this much right now. There is no question in my mind.
Rock.
I'm running out of breath, Rock. You were supposed to go to break and cut me off,
Rock.
You moron.